What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 21st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. My sincere apologies. The Friday before the break, I had absolutely no voice, and I just could not do a podcast. And then, of course, it was the All-Star break where I was in Cape Cod, so I was off for 5 days, and I am back now. I am back now, though, for only 10 days. I think I'm going to still do the Plus Pitch podcast. I don't feel like I can take another break like that. I'm going to be in Austria for a friend's wedding, essentially. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I apologize in advance, but we're going to talk about baseball from yesterday's games right now. Gavin Williams. This is Journey Williams. If you don't know, Bernie Williams actually had an album called The Journey Within, which is kind of cool, and it's a gorgeous graphic done by Justin Paradis here. And, oh my gosh, if you have been a Gavin Williams manager this season, it has been quite the journey, hasn't it? We've gone through all the things of no command, is the cutter coming? Yes, it is, but then it's not being used, but then now it is, but now you've lost velocity and extension, but now it's all coming together, and then it's not, and now it is, and now there's a sinker, and now it's a sinker, sweeper approach to right-handers, four-seamer, cutter, curve to left-handers, and it resulted in 7 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 11 strikeouts with a King Cole against the Athletics. Okay, first of all, awesome. Are you staying with this? He's a hipster. We don't know if this is real. And also 47% strikes in the curveball. That was his most thrown pitch. He also threw 20 sinkers to just 5 four-seamers to right-handers. And I'm glad that he got all the called strikes against the Athletics on this, but is that just the Athletics? Is this something that he can reliably do? Can he get over 60% strikes on sweepers to right-handers moving forward? I don't know. The good news is that he's going to get the Royals and Rocky Road next. So he's going into Kansas City. A good place to pitch. Hopefully that works out for Gavin Williams. I can't tell you that he's now turned the corner and everything's great, but it does seem like the sinker addition is a good thing. And he's at 7+ extension on those. I believe it was 7.1 or 7.2 on the sinker, so that's helping. I just wish, I don't know, it was just more consistent and not throwing your most thrown pitch. That was like 25 to 30% of usage at sub 50% strikes. It's so weird. Okay, Aaron Civale did really well against the Pirates, and we're happy for him. He finally did things that worked. The cutter and curve were spotted well with a sinker and four-seamer around the outside of the zone instead of just sputtering inside of it. So we're glad to see they took advantage of the Pirates for 6 Ks and 6 innings of 0 runs and 4 base runners. But he gets the Cubs next, and okay, Aaron Civale, just kind of do the same things. That'd be great, but we don't trust you to have success here. David Peterson got the Reds carpet, so of course he did well against the Cincinnati Reds in Citi Field. 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Nothing really out of the ordinary here. Good stuff there. Cade Horton had a stream against the Red Sox, and this was interesting because I thought he was going to go on Monday, but then they changed it all of a sudden. Welcome to the All-Star break and the confusion of the weekend after. And we had a great start. 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. That's cool. The changeup was around the down and away quadrant, but not actually at the point we wanted to be. So only 36% strikes on that pitch. But then the sweeper had 13 thrown for 6 whiffs and a ton of strikes against right-handers. He kind of flipped them in the zone a bit, but whatever, it was the Red Sox on the road. So I'm not totally sold on this with Cade Horton. I don't feel that his command is particularly great, and his stuff isn't so overwhelming, but it is a cut four-seamer that he throws strikes. It is a sweeper that should do well against right-handers, and the changeup is generally getting there. I mean, it is a process. It is development, and he does get the White Sox and the Orioles and the Cardinals, and that seems like something you want for a winning ball club pitcher like Cade Horton, right? Okay, cool. Chris Bubich went against the Marlins, got the win. 5 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and just 2 strikeouts, 9 whiffs, and he was down to 90-91 across 66 pitches. What's up here? Oh, he was dealing with an illness. And it might actually be a good thing overall because it was a win still, and you got good things for 2 strikeouts, and you wanted more volume, I guess, and expression of those good ratios. But hopefully this helps with the fatigue factor a little bit. Like, hey, you didn't have to go so far. You're maybe going to get skipped or something next time. I don't know. But he didn't have to exert himself so much in this one, so maybe this is all a general good. We'll see. I am a little worried that Chris Bubich will lose his value as the season goes on with some limitations. Also, we might just see some general fatigue of his performance, but this was him being sick, so don't treat this game as an expression of any of that. Joe Ryan against the Rockies in Coors. Yeah, you know, he still was incredible. He got the win, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 11 strikeouts. A 2.63 ERA, a 0.9 whip this year, a 10-4 record with a 29% K rate. That is Joe Ryan. I gotta say, I'm a little tempted to put him into Tier 1. The thing is, his total inning volume is like 20th in the majors. You know, he's not going as far into games as Crochet or Wheeler are as consistently, but this is 7 innings here, 88 pitches. I might just put him at the top of Tier 2 because I do have some worry about Max Fried and the blister, and Joe Ryan is insanely good for your fantasy teams, okay? Tarek Skubal, he is SP number 1. He had a great game against the Rangers. You don't need me. 11 Ks with a gallows pull, 20 whiffs, 6.2 innings. All right. Marcus Stroman got the gold star. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Got a win against Atlanta. This is likely the best start he'll have all season. And I was wondering how many more starts he's going to get because Cam Schlittler had an amazing debut, but then he had arm soreness and they skipped his start. And he is apparently going on Tuesday, but we'll see how that goes. And if he's firmly in the rotation there, everything's fine, then the Yankees are expected to get another starter at the deadline, or at the very least, Luis Gil comes back. So we might see just one more of Marcus Stroman against the Phillies on the 26th, and you don't want that. But I do feel like they're going to get some extra depth. Like, why would you not do that, Yankees? It makes all the sense there, and because you don't really want Stroman going out there. This was a lovely gift. Happy birthday. You have Nick Pivetta against the Nationals, got the win, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 Ks. Are you really happy with this? And you should really be happy that the home run regression that we are seeing is being limited to just a solo shot. Really smart there, Pivetta. Oh, look at you. Now, Garrett Crochet against the Cubs, 6 innings, 1 earned run. Great, 10 base runners, 8 hits, 2 walks, he got singled out. 5 Ks, but really it's a root of the root of the issue really is the four-seamer going 59% strikes. You can't do that. You got to be better at that. Come on. I am really happy that Crochet has been so good. In the preseason, I was so in on this, and then I got a little worried because the extension has been down 6.7 feet. Suppose like 7.2 of last year. That's half a foot lost. That's huge. And yet, he's improved himself in other aspects of his game to cover for that. So, I'm really happy to see it. I didn't want to bank on those things sticking around, and it's felt like something that would eventually hit for him, but it hasn't, and it's been awesome. Jacob Latz against the Tigers. 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Who is this guy? He's a lefty on the Rangers, so it's about 94, 93, 94. With a four-seamer that has 18 inches of vert, and he has close to 7 feet of extension, there is a little tinge of Reagan's. And what I mean by that is before Reagan's season, his breakout season, I remember talking about him in the offseason because he had an approach of four-seamers up and these cutters in and these changeups down where the command wasn't quite there, but you could see the canopy of those pitches around the zone, right? The intent or the precision of those outside of the zone was there, but you just need to kind of get them closer in. And I love the fact that he was doing that as opposed to just this kind of random plot of pitches. And I'm seeing that from Jacob Latz a bit. You have his four-seamer that had just a 41% strike rate, but it was all above the zone, like right above it. And it only got 17% chases, so thus the low strike rate. But then you have the changeup that does look good and has been better than expected, but still needs a little bit of command work. You have a slider there that does well against lefties, and he does like it against righties as well. And you can think to yourself, what was the biggest change of Reagan's from 2022 to 2023? Oh, right. He went from 92 and changed to 96. So, look, that's really what I'm saying is, hey, if Jacob Latz gains velocity, he might be good. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. That goes for everybody, you know, save for maybe Kyle Hendricks. But just keep an eye on Latz. I'm curious if the Rangers see this as a long-term thing, as they might have a pitcher or two be a pitcher or two lighter by September or even over the offseason or so. They might actually be pushing Latz a little bit more, but this was really because Nathan Eovaldi was having a back issue, and we hope that that's going to be okay for the next one. Clayton Kershaw went against the Brewers, 4.1 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. Oh, man. He did have an error-fueled fourth inning with three runs in that one. And it definitely got to him a little bit. He's throwing splitters too, which is kind of interesting. 13 throwing this one, 39% strikes though. Two whiffs. And his high, quote-unquote, heater, 88-89. Yeah, Kershaw, you're not what you used to be, buddy. And this is a, I don't know, he's trying to get cheap wins for your fantasy teams. It looks like five innings of a win on a Dodgers crew that should be winning games, but just got swept by the Brewers. I don't really want to go for Kershaw. Okay, cool. Jose Soriano is a hipster. Seven innings, 200 runs, six hits, two walks, five Ks, got the win. Oh, it's so good against the Phillies. He actually had a low strike rate on the curveball, but he had a high one on the sinker. It was really good down against lefties and actually away mid. It's kind of like a reverse L if you look at it with the strike zone plot against lefties. Or if you're using it from the catcher's point of view, it is an L down and away. That's all he really needs to succeed on a given night because it's a very heavy and hard bowling ball sinker. You don't know if you're going to get that on a given night, though. That's just kind of how it is, so I don't really love going after Jose Soriano. We have other guys to talk about. Trevor Rogers, Merrill Kelly, Andrew Abbott. Oh, no, there are a lot of guys that had bad outings. Should you freak out? Well, I'll let you know after this break. Trevor Rogers against the Rays. Six innings, 200 runs, five hits, two walks, and just three strikeouts. 92.3 miles per hour, not 94. And the sliders were not really utilized much. And he did have the sweeper, though, for some called strikes. But you did have changeups. Eight of them returned outs in play across a 24. That's 33% out rate. Oh, my gosh. Out percentage. Incredible. That is nice. Throw those good changeups. Get effective outs. Beautiful. You get Rocky Road next. That's fine. Like Trevor Rogers with his four-seamer up and changeups down is the baseline. And then what really takes him to the next level is that fastball at 94 and the breaking stuff also being there. And yeah, you did have those called strikes on the sweeper, so fine. But yeah, this was not his best performance. You have Merrill Kelly against the Cardinals. He's just so underrated. Six innings, 200 runs, three hits, four walks, five Ks. We'll take the three ERA and a 117 whip with five strikeouts and a win all day. Thank you so much, Merrill Kelly. You're probably going to be on another team before August arrives. So curious who that's going to be because you have a bad defense behind you and it should get better. Andrew Abbott against the Mets, six innings, 200 runs, six hits, one walk, five Ks. He had a completely different thing here. Usually we see changeups heavy with curveballs involved and then four-seamers staying up against right-handers. We barely saw that changeup, and we pretty much just saw four-seamers. Some of them were up, but most of them were low. And then he had some cutters as well go inside to them, some sprinkle of breaking balls against righties. And then against lefties, it was your standard affair of high and high heaters and then down and away sweepers. That's all cool. But kind of interesting, they changed his tune. We did see some struggles before the break. That should feel much better now, so we just keep rolling with Andrew Abbott, especially against the Rays next. Grant Holmes against the Yankees, six innings, 300 runs, seven hits, two walks, and two Ks. So that's a very poor quality start with a loss and just two strikeouts. You got nothing for this one. Very, very unfortunate. Unless you're in a quality start league, then I guess you're happy, but really you shouldn't be. Grant Holmes kind of did his thing. Sliders were generally good, and he got bamboozled for three runs in the first, including a solo shot from Aaron Judge. But really, this was mostly the supporting cast not doing enough. Like the cutter, the curve, the four-seamer, slider's still really good, so we just move on. Hunter Brown, oh my gosh, you've had now three games with at least 300 runs after allowing three runs or more in just two of your first 17. So 17 games where 15 of them were under 300 runs. And now you've had three of them going 300 runs or more. Oh, straight. And 400 runs, 300 runs, 400 runs, 300 runs. My gosh. Four innings, three earned runs, six hits, two walks, seven Ks. I apologize. For Hunter Brown here, his fastball's still great. 97 miles per hour plus. The curveball let him down. The changeup let him down. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we just keep rolling with it. It's just really frustrating the moment that I say, hey, look, Hunter Brown, fine. I'm going to give you the ace is going to ace tag. You have one good game after that and then these three. And it's just, this is what I was worried about, I guess. But honestly, I'm still seeing it and be like, yeah, well, yeah, you should still be doing well. Germán Márquez against the Twins, three innings, 300 runs, blah, blah, blah. You should not be starting him. Brian Wu had a good game in four innings. And then it was a tough fourth frame and two solo shots in the fifth, sixth. And all of a sudden, it's six innings, 400 runs, six hits, one walk, six Ks. womp womp, he still looks amazing. And he's still not fully unlocked because it really is just four-seamer sinker for the most part. I don't know why he's not throwing more sweepers to right-handers, especially against this Astros lineup. It was effective in the seven that he threw, and I feel like it should have been utilized more. Jose Quintana did well against the Dodgers, believe it or not. He got the win in six innings, four earned runs, four hits, zero walks, and five Ks. Just four hits. And he allowed two home runs for three of those earned runs to his name. He also had a 50% strike rate on his sinker, his most thrown pitch. And you had zero walks in this. Why? Because the curve, the four-seam, and the changeup were able to find a lot of outs. The curve also found four of those strikeouts. It was a very effective curveball in this one. So do you feel good enough with Quintana against the Marlins and Nationals? Maybe. I didn't really love the changeup so much in this one. It really was the curveball pulling it forward. But that could work. It's Quintana. The Brewers are winning games. Sure, if you really want to. Jose Berríos against the Giants got a win, but it was 5.2 innings of 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. As now he's at a 3.87 ERA and a 1.26 whip. Oh, the great undulator. Oh my gosh, I just don't want to deal with it. Ryan Pepiot against the Orioles. Oh man. 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. That's a 1.17 whip. The thing that hurt here were 3 solo shots. One was a fastball at 96, kind of down to the pipe. One was a changeup that was down and into a lefty that was able to, you know, swing out of there. And then you have a really bad one in full count. Really bad changeup for another solo shot to a lefty. So the cutter slider to me is actually the real problem. It's not those two pitches. That's supposed to be the pitch where they aren't able to go after fastballs and changeups. That's the nullifier. And those really haven't taken off for Ryan Pepiot. So that's a little bit annoying. Also, don't get that fastball down. Just keep that up, okay? I'm still going with Pepiot. I think the strikeout minus walk is too good, right? Like, he gets enough strikeouts. The home runs, I know it was in George Steinbrenner Field. I get it. The home runs, blah, blah, blah. But, man, those are the noisiest of stats. And Ryan Pepiot, I think, is just too good. But maybe I am too high on it. Maybe the ERA is just too much of a killer for you. Fine. But I'm going to roll with him. He's not top 30, though. Like, I understand that. I should not be expecting Pepiot to have a breakout second half now. Jansen Junk against the Royals. Just when I was like, all right, fine, I get it. The breakers are all right. He loses them. The slider had just a 50% strike rate. So what does he do? 5 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? And his 4-seamer got walloped. 5 ideal contact for batters is really high. It's essentially our better version of hard hit rate for us. Man, he could still do it against the Marlins. Sorry, not the Marlins, the Brewers, if he has those breakers back. But yeah, this is kind of why I didn't like Jansen Junk. It's more command-focused than it is really stuff-focused. Robbie Ray against the Jays was very disappointing. 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 5 walks, and 3 Ks. Why? Because it was a very bad strike rate. 53% on the 4-seamer, and the slider at a 47%. Those are the two most thrown pitches he has. The changeup at least went 60% strikes with 6 whiffs, but yeah, no, this was just a bad day. And I gotta say, Toronto is really, really good at home. So be careful. I think I see Cam Schlittler tomorrow against the Jays. I was really tempted just to say do not start for that one, but he's just so fun. But yeah, that is going to be a tough one. Miles Michaelis did not do well in Arizona because, yeah, duh. Jeffrey Springs, no sunshine and rainbows against the Guardians in Cleveland. Even though he had a good changeup, it was 500 runs in 4 innings. You just don't want to do it. Ranger Suarez, very disappointing one. This was the first stumble we've seen since his first game back. And that was the IL start, and I believe it was 600 runs in about 3 and change. And even then I said, oh no, but hold on, the command was there, so you should be encouraged. But this one was not. He did not go down and away effectively to right-handers. It was 4.1 innings, 600 runs against the Angels. 8 hits, 4 walks, 4 Ks, 4 whiffs, and 19% CSW across 100 pitches. And the biggest thing I said before the break was, Ranger Suarez has these runs, and then he gets interrupted and it goes south. And this was 9 days between starts because of the All-Star break. 9 days. So think about that a bit. It is a lefty against a right-handed lineup. They are better against it. Fine. You're going to start him in the next one, but what is it? Is it the Yankees? I think he's still going to. He's deserved that. But still, it's just, it's a little tenuous, right? You have Andrew Heaney against the White Sox. You have 4 innings of 7 earned runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strike. And how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Very disappointing. But just remember, Andrew Heaney is Andrew Heaney. Even against the White Sox, if he doesn't have it on, he's not going to be good. And Mackenzie Gore, very disappointing against the Padres. 2.1 innings of 8 earned runs. He got bamboozled with a grand slam in the first inning. His curve and slider had 21% non-competitive rates. And by the way, if you haven't read that article on Pitcher List about non-competitive rate, you got to do it. It is illuminating, to say the least. It is a really fun stat. It non-competitive rate essentially quantifies the thing that you already know watching pitchers, the guys who are super wild and everything. Like, you know that at heart, but we didn't have a good stat for it because it's more than just walk rate. And you should definitely read that one. Kyle Blaine put that out. Fantastic. With Mackenzie Gore, though, just, you know, it just wasn't his day. All right, what are you going to do? You keep starting the fella. But that is it for this one. Thank you all so much for listening and sticking with the Plus Pitch podcast. Yes, you're going to get it all week and all that fun stuff. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.